Is it working? Oh, I'm not going to sing. I meant to ask a while ago, if anyone had something, a testimony to testify this morning, maybe something God's done in your life. Would anybody want to share something that's going on that's been a blessing, that has been a answered prayer? Is there anyone that would like to share this morning? We don't do that enough, do we, church? We don't testify what God's done in our life. Does anyone feel like led to share this morning? Okay. It's reported that Colonel Rawl, the commander of the British troops in Trenton, New Jersey, was playing cards when a courier brought him an message, and Colonel Rawl put that message in his pocket, and he didn't read it until after his game, his card game, was over. And realizing the seriousness of the letter, he then tried to rally his troops, for the latter said that George Washington is crossing the Delaware. And he had that letter in his pocket, and he pulls it out after the game, and he realizes the seriousness of this letter. He tried to rally his troops coming attack, but it was a little too late. You see, his procrastination caused many of his men to be killed and the rest of his regiment to be captured. And a little later, a man named Norbert Quayle gave a report of the incident that had happened, and here's what he said. He said only a few minutes' delay cost him his life, his honor, and his liberty of all of his soldiers. He said Earth's history is filled with wrecks of half-finished plans and unexecuted resolutions. He said, tomorrow is the excuse of the lazy and the refuge of the incompetent. Tom Heyman, in his book, In an Average Time, says that the average American in his lifetime spends 3 years in meetings, 13 years watching TV, spends $89,281 on food, £9,000, 104,109,354 pounds of food. The average person makes 1,811 trips to McDonald's. They spend $6,881 in a vending machine. They eat over 35,000 cookies. Amen. We consume 1,483 pounds of candy in our lifetime. We 304 colds. We have motor vehicles accidents 6 times. We are hospitalized 10 times, and we sleep 24 years of our life. Richard Needham said in his book Wit and Wisdom, he said that there are 7 ages of man. Listen to this. He said there are spills, drills, thrills, bills, pills, wills, and ills. And I believe regardless of age, every one of us can relate to that. I believe that this clever little poem says it. It says, procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know I should stop it. In fact, can you finish it? I will tomorrow. And when I read all of these things, I thought in my mind, church, what if tomorrow never came? What if the sun doesn't set and the sun doesn't rise in the morning? What if tomorrow never comes? What if your plans were left incomplete, your dreams unfulfilled, and your hopes dashed because the tomorrow never shows up? You see, and I believe in our Christian life, also in our church, it is a question that we must take an honest look at. We must consider in our own Christian life, in our own church life, that question, what if tomorrow never comes? Open your Bibles this morning to James in the 4th chapter. James chapter 13th verse. I want to remind you, If you weren't last week, there's a family that has purchased some note-taking books up here on the front pew. You're welcome to pick one of those up if you would like to use it. James chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and we'll continue there a year and we'll buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanished away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and if it not, to him it is sin. Now it's important to set the scene here and realize to whom James is speaking, James is addressing. History reveals to us that the focus here this morning is that materialistic-minded businessmen that apparently are in his congregation. He's not addressing all businessmen. Listen, he is addressing those business people, people in our church today that have a plan, a purpose, a program. How many have those? Don't we? We have a plan, a purpose, and a program. And who he's addressing today are those people that have a plan, a purpose, and a program minus God. He's addressing who have all these plans in their life but subtracted God from that purpose. Not including him in that purpose. And what James is going to show us is that we cannot seek to count on life running without any problems, because there are complexities in life. There are uncertainties in life. We must count on them, although we may never see them. Notice the opening words of verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, go to now. You say, I'll tell you what it means. Here's what James is saying. He's saying, okay, you people that walk in this church, you stroll around here like this place. If you people that walk in here and this church revolves around you, that's what James is saying. You people need to settle down. You people need to relax. You people are walking around here with all this air of confidence and arrogance. Remind me, I was reading this week. You know what? Second Baptist Church, it doesn't revolve around. Oh, did I hurt you? It's the truth, right? And sometimes we get in our mind, the plan and the purpose and the program is all about me. And we forget what it's about. And so James is saying, come on you people who believe that this worship service is all about you. Come on you people who believe that this program is all about you, that you're strutting around here like you own this place. You're strutting around here like you run this place. You see, these men that James are speaking to, they're making specific plans as if they knew what were going to happen. But we're planning their future without God. The folks here would have changed Augustine's motto from love God and do as you please and say you love God. You see, people, they had priorities out of them. They were looking into this crystal ball like they knew what the future held and like it controlled their future. And notice what James says in verse 16. He says, those who have a plan, those who have a program, those who have a purpose without God, and then they brag about it, all of that thing is evil. Wrong. You see, these people had a purpose. They had a purpose, but it was aimless. It was aimless purpose because God was vacant from their schedule. I don't have that everyone in this room this morning has a If it doesn't, it's aimless. If it doesn't, it's worthless. You're wasting your time. And that's what James is saying, is aimless purpose because all God. How many things do we do now that we have done that are absolutely aimless? There's no purpose in them because God wasn't even involved. We never even considered asking God to get involved. We were arrogant. Arrogance, I told God, I can handle this. This is my plan. This is mine. And James says that our rejoicing in that is useless. Our rejoicing in that is worthless. Our rejoicing in that is aimless, and it's unfortunate. Really what it is an unfortunate folly. It's a mistake. And within that, James shows us this unforeseen future. How many of you believe that the future is unforeseen? Just me? Okay. And James is saying they need not rejoice in their plans or their places or their purposes and their programs because they may not come to pass. It may not happen. See, these people were saying they will. God said, you don't even know. Planning the whole year. God said, you're not guaranteed another day. They thought they were independent. Lord, I think God thought about them. God thought they were ignorant. And they thought they were doing all of this on their own. I wonder how many times he looks at my life and he says, Billy, that's ignorant. That's ignorant. Why is it ignorant? Because I'm not involved. Because you try to do all of these things without me. How many times does he look at the church and say, that's not very smart? Second Baptist Church, that's not very smart. You're trying to do all of these things, but you're not including me. We think those things end up. They need not rejoice. They kept saying, we will. God said, you don't even know. You see, James' point is not that it's unwise to plan a future. It's very wise to plan a future, but it's very unwise to plan a future. It's very unwise to plan a program without God. It's very unwise to have a plan without God included. Solomon testifies to that unforeseen future. Remember Proverbs 27:1, the Bible says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boy, isn't that so true? The older I get, I think, man, that's so true. 30 years ago, think where you were 30 years ago. What would that have been, 1986? Is that right? 30 years ago, 1986. 1986, the futurist predicted that one of the biggest problems for this generation right now would be what to do with your spare time. Now think about that. I don't know about you, but I don't even know what spare time is. I don't have any. But that was the 30-year prediction that we would struggle with our spare time, what to do in our spare time. And now, according to a recent Gallup poll, the amount of leisure time enjoyed by the average American has decreased 40% in the last 30 years. 40%. The point's simple. There's an unforeseen future. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's going to happen. But to not realize that the future is unforeseen and to leave God out of your plan is an unfortunate mistake. It is a folly. It is a complexity of life. And that's what James is saying. That's the complexity of life when you leave God out. And we don't even know what's coming around the corner. James also points out that life is short. He uses the text, it is like a vapor. And so he answers us here with one of the greatest, most vivid illustrations that are all in the Bible. He describes life as a vapor. Can you picture smoke, steam, rising up from a simmering pot? And James is reminding us of the quickness, of brevity of life. And James is not the only one to mention this, folks. 18 times in Scripture, we are reminded of the shortness of life. In Chronicles chapter 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 15, the Bible says, our days on earth are like a shadow. In Job chapter 7 and verse 15, the Bible says, remember that my life is like a wind. In Psalms chapter 39 and verse 5, the Bible says, thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth. And then in Psalms 102 and 3, for my days are consumed like smoke. I used to think when I was young, it would never be this old, I don't guess. It never crossed my mind. And now look at me now. And I know some of you would say the same thing. I can remember just like it was yesterday that this was going on and I could do this. I remember just like it was yesterday that I could stretch my toes with, or touch my toes without everything hurting. Just do that. I remember when I could take off running and I could outrun most. And now I can't even take off running. It seems like it was yesterday that I could get in a, I could set my rear on the ground when I was catching in college baseball. And now I can't hardly sit it in a chair. Boy, how fast life goes. How quick it is. Just yesterday, Luke was born. Luke was a grown man. It was yesterday. Life is so short, and we take it so much for granted. That a hard pencil can write 30,000 words. Experts estimate that a ballpoint pen can draw a line 7,500 feet. They tell us that a $1 bill can last circulation for 18 months. And yet James says our life is a snap. It is a minute. It is short. It is here and it is gone. Are there things you would like to do for the Lord in the coming days? You know what James says? Do it today. Are there things that you would like to do for the Lord? Do it now. Do it immediate. James' advice is do it right now. Don't wait any longer. Don't procrastinate. Maybe this unknown writer captures the way that life slips through our hands. It says, as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When as a full-grown man, time ran. And soon I shall be passing on, time gone. Doesn't it seem to go that fast? Where it's here today. You see, there are complexities in life that we don't know about. There are things that are uncertain we don't know about. But listen, there are also certainties in life. There are things about life that we do know. We do know that life is significant, and we do know that life is very, very short. And we can't afford to wait until tomorrow. Because really, tomorrow never comes. It's always just tomorrow. And we love to put things off. What is it that you may have your hopes and dreams set on? What is it that you plan to do with the rest of your life from today on? James's advice is if you want to do something for God, you need to do it now. You need to quit waiting. It would be wise for us to heed to those words. Maybe these words will bring it home for you. He was going to be all that he could be tomorrow. No one would be kinder or braver than he tomorrow. A friend was troubled and weary, he knew, and who'd be glad of a lift, and he needed. What if tomorrow never comes? What if tomorrow never comes? What if you're sitting you this morning and you're farther away from God than you've ever been and tomorrow never comes? What if you're sitting there this morning and you have unconfessed sin in your life, something that you've hiding from everybody but God, and tomorrow never comes? What if you're one that has been saying, you know what? I'm going to walk down the aisle and accept Christ. I'm going to say that Christ is the Savior of my life. I'm going to do it next Sunday. But tomorrow never comes. It never shows up. We're searching for a pastor. Is it our plan? Is it God's plan? Is it our personal plan? We're trying to grow this church. Is it our plan? Is that God's plan? Are we raising a family on our own purpose or on God's purpose? Are we raising our children on our program, our plan? God's plan. Are you and your spouse on God's plan or your plan? Listen, are you prepared? Are you prepared today for Christ to come tonight? Not tomorrow. Tonight. Are you prepared today? Would God be satisfied with where you are? Would God be satisfied with your relationship with Him, with His closeness to where you are, if He were to come tonight? The trumpet sounded tonight. Would God be happy with church, where we are? Would God be happy in your relationships? Would God be happy with where you are in your life in terms of sin and repentance? Would He be happy where you are in terms of relationships? Listen, church, are we ready? Are we ready for tomorrow not to come? What about the loved ones in your family? The ones maybe you hadn't shared the gospel with, the ones that have not come to the saving, knowing grace of Jesus Christ. What about them when tomorrow doesn't come? What about our children that are unsaved? What about our grandchildren that are unsaved? What about our spouse that's unsaved and tomorrow doesn't come? His advice, here it is in a nutshell. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, Second Baptist Church, here's what you need to do. You need to get off your blessed assurances and get to work for God. That's what James is saying. Quit holding back, quit waiting. Go. Go do it. Get on board. Do it now. Listen, if your relationship with Christ is not where it should be, then you need to take care of that today. You need to come to this altar in repentance. You need to get back in that relationship with God today. Tomorrow may never come. It may be someone in this room you need to walk across the aisle and apologize to. Tomorrow may not come. You need to walk down this aisle and say, I am a Christ lover. I'm in love with Christ. I've invited Him into my heart. Tomorrow may be late. What if the sun doesn't rise? Morning. Ready? Do you know? There's no doubt. I know exactly where I'm at. I know exactly my relationship with God, and it's exactly where it's to be, and I don't care if tomorrow doesn't come. It doesn't matter. The Lord. Is that where you are? James's advice is, that's not where you are, where you need to get. Pronto. Soon. Quickly. You know where you need to be. You also know exactly where you are. And that's up to you. To make that decision to get where God wants you. God is involved in your plan and your program and your purpose. Where He is in the middle of your calendar and everything that you do. Church, what if comes? What if? Father God, thank You this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for James bringing us that Word, Lord. Word that we sit in our chair and we think,
What if tomorrow never comes? Where is my relationship with my family? Where's my relationship with my church? Where's my relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I where I need to be? And thank you for what James says. Go do it now. Fix it. No guarantee of tomorrow. All as we have is the moment right now. The breath we're taking. And may we heed to this warning that life is short. It could be over in a snap. And Father, that we have our own house in order. Our own lives, our own hearts. And Father, there's someone in this room right now. If that person's here this morning, today would be the day of salvation. Repentance. Father, we'll praise you for that. Father, this time of invitation, may we come to our own lives, our own homes, our own houses, our own hearts. And may we answer the question for ourselves. Tomorrow never comes. Father, take over this invitation to your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Would you stand with me this morning?